the Jewish people.
Oh, Turkey and many, many other places, the Israeli army was the first going there to help the other people there, because they know how they suffered during the Holocaust and everything.
Right.
And they are...
French.
I heard that French accent.
Yeah.
When did you make Aliyah?
14 years ago.
14 years. Why did you make Aliyah?
Ask my parents.
Ask your parents.
I'm glad to be here, and I was 3 years in the army.
Sir, thank you for your service to the country.
You're welcome.
And let me share with you real quick. Americans, you know Hershey's chocolate?
That's what? What?
Hershey's chocolate.
No.
Okay, see the logo there, Hershey's?
Yeah.
So this is a chocolate bar, very popular in the United States.
Okay.
So Americans send, you can find it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Americans send thousands of Hershey's chocolate bars with notes on them to your soldiers. We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. Go to Hershey's for...
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Steve. Because I forgot to bring my business cards, which doesn't happen often. Wow, Steve, you've had that for a year?
No, I had it since last week when he dropped it off, but I got the...
okay. So go to Hershey's for Heroes. I'll get you another one, Steve, on Facebook, and like it for me and see how Americans love your soldiers.
So you're an association, right?
Ma?
Are you an association?
I'm an organization. I work for myself. I came here and started Inside Israel and Hershey's for Heroes.
Okay.
Because I saw how great this country is and how the world lies about it. So as someone who's not Jewish, I said, you know what? I need to come and stand with the Jewish people.
So if you do something like this, so you're a great man. Thirsty.
I'm thankful for my mother. I'll say that.
You Catholic?
No. Protestant.
Protestant.
Yeah.
I know Protestant like Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll see that on Facebook on the Hershey's for Heroes page.
Okay.
All right?
No worries.
Sir?
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having us here. So there you go, folks.
We visited the chocolate factory.
You visited the chocolate factory in the United States?
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, Hershey's doesn't give us anything. It's Americans that take the time to buy the chocolate bars, to put the notes on them, and mail them to me. Thousands of them I get in the mail. I lived in the United States of America. I go to the mail and I get bills. I come to the Jewish state, I go to the mail, and I get chocolate. Why would I want to leave? It's an honest question, you know? So, with that being said, folks, see, this is what I love about this country, because folks are not shy. They like to speak up and tell the truth, and that young man just spoke the truth to us. The world hates us for no reason, and the Europeans especially. But you know what? The Europeans are getting back what they put out to the Jews, because now they've got Islam running their countries. And they deserve it. I feel very little compassion for the Europeans, and especially the Christian Europeans, who should know better and should stand up against the government and against Islam and stand with the Jewish people. They don't read their Bible enough and pray enough. That's their problem. So, folks, listen, you're only getting it right here, right in Tel Aviv. In the Jewish state, you're hearing the greatness of the people here and the honesty. And I appreciate that young man right there. That was, wow, that's great. So folks, also, listen, thank you for listening to Insight to Israel, for hearing the truth about Israel and how great the people are, how beautiful the land is, and the contributions they give to the world. I've been able to share this story for almost 3 years, and I'm blessed to do it. So, thank you for listening to the radio show. I also want to say thank you to those who give to Hershey's for Heroes, who are not spectators. You know, when you go to a sports arena, you got a lot of folks sitting around watching the many, watching the few play. But I want to say thank you to the many who are not spectators, but participators in sending Hershey's for Heroes, where Americans send Hershey's chocolate bars with notes on them to the soldiers. We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. And I was just on a base in the Negev Desert on Wednesday, and I will tell you the results that I see from Hershey's for Heroes when the soldiers tell me, Michael, we didn't know that so many people loved us. We didn't know that so many people stood with us. And I blame the world and their hypocrisy for these young people. It is, I detest and I abhor, and it's unacceptable to have an 18-year-old look at me and say, Michael, the world hates me because I'm Jewish. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And I stand in defiance against the American government, who in their hypocrisy say we're pro-Israel, but yet fund over a dozen Muslim countries, arm them, and train them using our CIA and our U.S. military as a pawn to train Muslims that want to kill Jews. I stand against the United States government, boldface, as an American taxpayer and say it's wrong. But I stand with the American people at the grassroots level who love Israel and pray for this country and actually do something besides pray. A lot of Christians in the United States say, well, we have to pray, we have to pray. And that's acceptable. I appreciate that. The heart of God is moved when He hears our prayers. At the same time, we must also, when we see a need, not stand and wait to hear from God. But God already knows that there's the answer in front of us. We need to act upon what we see. Do you remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah came from captivity in Babylon. He was allowed to come back to Israel and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't stand around and pray that the walls would be built. He put his talents into action. And in one hand, they had a sword to fight off the enemy. And in their heart and on their mouth, they had a prayer to God and
Bible
and Torah in their heart. And then the other, they had the trial to build the walls. Wow. That's powerful. You know, let me say, and then I'll get back to, we're gonna get down to the radio show. But I was talking to some French Jews last weekend.
In Israel?
In Israel. And I said, did you make Aliyah? And they said, not yet. I like to hear that, not yet, which means they're planning on it. I hope they do it sooner rather than later. But I said, France will burn to the ground under Islam. And they said, you're absolutely right. It's so amazing to hear someone tell the truth. And they said, they asked me, they said, Michael, what are the Christians doing about Islam? What are they doing? And I said, well, they're just praying. They're not fighting against Islam. They think the government will do it or law enforcement will do it. My country is being overrun by Islam through the legal system, the political system, the educational system. They're manipulating our young people and brainwashing them because we've forgotten God. And when you pull God out, something else will come in. And it was amazing to have French Jews ask me, Michael, why aren't the American Christians doing anything? Why aren't the European Christians doing anything? We've got a young man here, Steve Martin, who I'm meeting for the second time. Second or third time?
I guess the third, but I stood away the first time.
Okay.
So a bit shy.
The third time, and Steve's from Wales, who came here to do volunteer work with the Army. And also we have Shlomo and Gaula. How do you say your last name?
Schwartz.
Shlomo's from Romania. And Gaula's, you're Israeli.
She's born in Israel.
Before 48.
Yeah, before 1948. We're gonna get to that. But let me say, America, my. You know, there's a picture I saw of Bibi. He was talking to the British Jews and to the French Jews, and he was saying, come home. It's time to come home to Israel where it's safe. And they said, we're praying. We're waiting for God. And they show those same two Jews in heaven standing before God. And they said, God, we were waiting for you. Why didn't you make a way? He said, I gave you Bibi. I gave you Elal. I gave you Nefesh B'Nefesh. I gave you all these organizations to get you home. And you ignored the open door.
You don't see the sign on the wall.
Can. So I want to say to the American Jews, and they don't like it sometimes when I say this, because they say, who is the goy to tell us? And I say, God has opened the door, and you had better walk through it. Sell all in the United States. Bring your money. God will bless your money when you bring it here and spend it in the Jewish state. He will prosper you. I believe that. Stand with your people in solidarity.
I like that, Professor.
You know? And I say, come home. Ken. Yeah, there was just an Islamic attack in Texas. The Muslims attacked in Texas, tried to kill people. So, and also say to the European Jews, get out while the getting's good, while you can. God opens the doors, And he beckons, he uses Elal, Nefesh B'Nefesh, all these groups, to tell the Jews from all over the world, now's the time to come home. Because if you don't come home, just like the Jews that stayed in Egypt, just like the Jews that stayed in Europe that had warning, there was warning signs.
Well, yeah, this is the sign on the wall.
Time to come home, and they didn't listen. And I'm sorry, listen, you know what? People ask me, show us survivors. They say, Michael, where was God? I say, don't ask where was God. Where was man who should have been standing up against evil? But instead they say, if we're nice to evil, it will go away. And they say the same thing about the Muslims. If we're nice to the Muslims, maybe they will leave us alone. Folks, it's time to wake up. Time to smell the cappuccino. Time to taste of the bread that God has laid before us to give us that energy to come home. The manna. Wow. The manna. God said, I'll feed you every day. You don't have to worry. Your shoes won't wear out. Your clothes won't wear out. We're going to get you to the promised land in one piece. Wow, that's amazing. Anyway, enough of that. I want to say thank you to Americans who give to Hershey's for Heroes. Don't forget to go to the Facebook page. Be a participator, not a spectator. I like it when you get involved. You know, it gives you, you know, I tell you, when you sit around and don't do anything, it gives your mind time to work and you get in trouble. But when you're doing the right thing and active, then it's you stay focused on the good things in life. So, thank you to everyone. I love you. God bless you. Now it's time. You want to throw something in?
You can stop here for a second. Ready.
So, I want to thank everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes and who listens to Insight to Israel. Insight to Israel needs your support. You can make a tax-deductible or PayPal donation to Insight to Israel and support. Now, I do acting and modeling here. Wow, I never thought I'd do that. I didn't do it in the United States. I never thought about it. But somebody likes my face. So I cover my own personal expenses. I don't have a lot. So that way those who donate to Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes, what they give goes towards the work. So I'm not a burden on anyone. And no one has to say, Michael, you know, how much are your personal expenses? My personal expenses are my personal expenses. Everything else, I can say, and I'm so proud, I thank God for it, that all of those donations, that support, that partnership, goes straight for the work. And I'm telling you, the blessing that I've received traveling from Ramat Golan to Mitzrayim to show the greatness of this country and everywhere in between has changed my life. So I'm here with Steve Martin from Wales, and
Geula.
Geula, I apologize, Geula.
You know the meaning of Geula?
No. What's the meaning?
Someone who is staying prisoner and going out.
Who's a prisoner and goes in town.
Geula.
Ah, wow. Amazing.
The freedom. Freedom.
And in the Bible there is part which is say,
from leadership to
freedom. Wow.
You know, in Tehillim and in the Bible,
Ken,
there is, I don't know how much, in the praying, in the morning, in the noontime, in the
evening time,
evening, there is, maybe, I don't know how much Geula in the... This is why... Bible. My father giving me my name, Geula. I born, I told you, in July 41.
Right.
In Israel,
Tel Aviv
and Israel, they see that it's before Israel coming. And coming the Shmuot, if I'm in Shmuot. כל מיני שמועות על הנאצים, מה שהם הולכים לעשות בזהו. When they came to
Sinai, from the Nazis, from
right,
they're coming from Sinai,
from Egypt,
from Egypt.
They occupied the part of Egypt,
right?
Montgomery fight them in
World War II. Ken,
here is coming very afraid.
Yeah,
very afraid. Because there is Arabs here which want to
kill you. There are Arabs in World War II that wanted to kill Jews.
Very, and במנדט הבריטי, before
the British,
48,
before 48,
the year, I remember when I was
a little child,
little, maybe 6 years old.
Right.
And I told you where I live.
Right.
In the end of market.
In the Carmel Sukkah here,
yes,
in Tel Aviv.
Yes. And our home, there is Halon Gavon.
Very tall window.
Windows.
She could look through.
And I stay all the time in the window, looking outside. The English people going here.
The British soldiers.
And one to other said, look how is nice baby this girl. Look, and give me chocolate and give me things.
Wow.
But they don't like us. They make at 4 o'clock, that's it.
They have a curfew.
A curfew.
You have to go inside.
Yeah.
Who is going in the street after 4 o'clock?
The Arabs, the Muslims. No?
They should.
The Jewish people, if they, someone after 4 o'clock outside, is going to kill.
The British will kill you.
Yeah.
Wow.
She remembers the big rifle with the bayonet on top.
Wow, wow.
She was 6 years old, and the rifle was a big one with the soldiers with the heads.
Wow.
So, yeah, I told you, in the day they are very nice.
Very frightening.
From English. But at the night when they make the hotel,
curfew, yeah, then
everyone who's after 4 o'clock in the evening going out, they shoot it.
Wow, wow. Now, I'm glad you folks, first of all, I want to say that's an amazing history, and we're gonna
another one. One day, I was small, I think 5 years ago, and
my mother,
every day going down and buying them like bagels. You know what?
Can the
kind of bagels?
Bagel. American bagels.
Can.
Cheese
and I say, and I start to cry, and I say, I want my baby. I want my baby. And the Arabs with the baby don't come. And he take me my hand, and he tell me, I show you that there is no the man of
which with the baby. Bagel maker.
Yeah, the bagel maker.
You go after the road.
The corner.
You go to the corner.
There is a, you know, the oil.
Olive oil.
No. Fuel.
Ah, gas.
Gas.
Fuel. Gas.
Yeah. And kerach.
Ice. They sell ice.
And they sell.
What? They wear carriages, you know, with a horse.
Yeah.
That
had the big blocks of ice.
And the carriage, during the night, they park on the street.
Bapina.
And the evening before, two guys, the Jewish, very young people, they went after the curfew. They went to one yard, and they jumped.
After 4 o'clock, nobody can stay Jewish in the world.
Right.
Hold on. So they came, the two guys came, and Yola's mother said,
no,
you stay here.
Marco,
they stay with us because of the curfew, and you shouldn't go
there. There is something no good in the air.
Right.
And they say, no, our parents will be concerned about this and the family, so we have to go home. Next day.
No, until 12 tonight.
Right.
We feel that maybe it's quite a little bit, and they say, no, we are afraid about our family, which is going to, don't know what happened to us,
and so on.
They go
from yard to yard, they jump from yard to yard. The next day, when they went to buy the bagel, under the carriage of the bagel maker there,
you see the two
kids with
the kids,
throat,
which is 16 years old,
wow.
By the Arabs.
And the Muslims killed
them. And the English,
she cannot forget.
I
can only imagine. Wow.
And the,
and this was pre-1948 under the British soldiers.
They
didn't stop the Arabs. This is amazing, you know. They stopped the Jews. They have fences
right
around. They didn't stop the Arabs.
No, they coming to the Jew, the two guys which is killed.
Can.
And he said, if you don't take them, just in 10 minutes, we are going to throw you to the Echomwegel.
To the garbage.
Wow.
By the way, Gyula's grandfather was killed by a car, by the English people driving the car. And they say took him away. He was dead on place.
Wow.
Took him away.
So you were persecuted. The Jews were persecuted before 1948 by the British and the Muslims.
Not all the British.
Not all the British.
But very severe, you know. During the day, she said, during the day, they were very nice, but the curfew was not on.
But they kept the curfew enforced.
Very, very.
You know the street, the street which named Kovshim.
Again.
You know the street of Kovshim?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Then in the middle of the street, I have a better page than someone.
Barbed wire.
We stay in the side which there is vegetables.
Okay.
And the other side, my grandmother stay in the Makolet.
Grocery store.
In the grocery store.
My grandmother.
Can.
Vegetables and she buy for us bread. And in 4 o'clock.
Yeah, everything's closed. Well, let me. Here's what we
not
need to.
Not just closed. Don't.
Again, the curfew. I want to introduce you guys. Those are some amazing stories because these are stories that, these are real events that took place. This, my audience needs to know this, before 1948. And Gula lived here. You were born here.
Yeah.
And Shlomo, you're from Romania. Now, you guys, let me ask you, you've been married for
56 years.
56 years. Wow, that's a long time. And you have three children, two boys, and a girl. They all have served in the Army, in the Air Force, except your daughter. You served, Shlomo, in the Air Force. Your two boys served in the Air Force, and your daughter served in the Army.
Yeah.
And how many grandchildren do you have?
Seven grandchildren.
Four girls.
And three boys.
And listen, I met Shlomo and Gula a few weeks ago. Actually, I posted the video on Facebook when they were having this peace forum between the Muslims and the Jews. And they're leftist Jews here in Tel Aviv. And it's another beautiful day here in Tel Aviv. It's amazing. It's a beautiful day. We're sitting in this coffee shop. And that's how I met you folks. And Shlomo, I found out you're from Romania, where I spent a year teaching school.
I was born in Romania.
You were born in Romania. What?
1938.
In 1938?
Galatia.
And I want to start off now. Because I want the audience to become familiar with you. We only have a few minutes left in this first segment. We have a couple minutes. How did you folks meet?
We met from the family, a girl, her boyfriend lives in the neighborhood of Gyula's house.
Okay.
So we came together, you know, so on. When she was young, I think 13, 14 years, and I met her the first time. We were not friends until I went to the army, and then and when she was 19, we married. I was 22.
Wow. You got married young. Nice.
Just finished the army and we married.
And now you've been married for 56 years. Wow, that's beautiful.
July.
You know, that's. I think it's.
July,
I think it's amazing that you were married for so many years.
He was born in July.
I was born on 4th of July.
Oh, and then American Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Wow.
And I am 16 of July.
Oh, nice. You were born in the same month.
3 years later.
Wow. Wow. So, did you know you were going to marry her when you met her?
No, but, you know, maybe they...
It was God's plan.
Yeah.
Wow, 57 years.
57, almost 57.
I don't think, I'm only 44 and I haven't...
Nearly 57 years.
Wow.
Since I met her for the first time. She was a girl, young girl. I was a young boy.
Yeah, a Romanian boy.
A Romanian boy coming to Israel.
His grandfather,
my grandfather was a rabbi. He married us. He was...
Wow.
He married in a synagogue.
Right. In what town were you married?
In Tel Aviv.
Nice.
Yavne Street, Oel Moed. This is a Sephardic...
Sephardic.
Yeah.
Synagogue.
Very nice synagogue.
Can. Well, listen, we're gonna go to the next segment. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come right back. And I want to talk about some history of Israel that you've seen. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. I'm here with Geula and Shlomo Schwartz, and we'll be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gannot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're off with the first question in this segment, in this second segment. You know, Geula, you were born here, and your parents made Aliyah from where? Your father was Yemen?
Yeah, he comes.
He came when he was a little boy.
2 years old.
Ken, and your mother...
They
walked from Yemen to Israel. Wow, wow.
There is a lot of Yemen who's coming in 1826.
Ah, 1826.
Yeah.
Coming to Jerusalem.
Yemen to Jerusalem.
Nice.
The first Yemen who come to Jerusalem.
Now, where's your mother from?
My mother is coming also young.
Girl, when she was young?
From Syria.
From Syria.
But there is a lot of Jews, also Yemen. There is no work here. Who's going back to Syria?
They back to Egypt. The people who came from Syria, they went back to Syria.
Right.
In order for work.
For work.
There is no work. Geula's
father came from Yemen, came to Israel, and because hunger and no work those times, he went back to Egypt.
To Egypt.
He has an uncle there. And
he worked in a restaurant.
A waiter and different work there.
A German Jewish coming to Egypt.
Right, right.
And my father's uncle.
Ken.
Married Egypt. People, Jewish people.
An Egyptian Jew.
And they opened their restaurant.
In Egypt.
In Egypt, in Cairo, I think.
Cairo.
Yes, and they make food, Yemen and Egypt.
Yemen and Egypt food,
together.
Egyptian. Wow, nice. So, well, let me ask you something, Geula. You grew up in Tel Aviv under the British occupation of the Jewish state, which was not a state, but this has always been Jewish land. And you obviously had some very serious experiences. The British had a curfew. And then if you came out, if you were Jewish during that curfew, they would kill you. They would shoot at you.
The British want to give the old Israel state...
No, she's doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The British want to give the Israel state to the Arabs.
To the Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to catch Jaffa, the port of Jaffa.
They want
which they give to the Yamatichon.
This is the only.
That's the only entrance to come into the country.
No,
this time.
Jaffa port.
To the sea.
Yeah.
To the Mediterranean.
So they would stop that. Would they'd stop the Jews when they were trying?
They want to give it this part of Jaffa to the Arabs.
To the Muslims.
To the Muslims.
Yeah. No. I'm going to Jaffa. At Jaffa, lashir.
The Arabim.
No. Lashir ota kmo mivlat rak anglit. Mivlat anglit.
To be an English like the Vatican, you know, in Rome.
Yeah.
They
to
want
be a part
to...
of the English occupation here.
Ah, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what was it like when you started seeing, because you were a young girl, but you started seeing Jews come from Europe. What was that like for you? Was it like, what did your parents talk about? Like, was it exciting?
My father, every day, pray and said, thanks God that you save all these Jews who is coming to Israel.
Coming from Europe.
Never mind if they're Romanian or Bulgarian.
Right.
Or coming from Yavan.
From Greece.
Greece.
From Greece.
From
all over Europe, basically.
From all over Europe.
So your father was saying, thank God for it.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Amazing. So.
And my father has a very good
voice. He prays
in the synagogue.
He was a religious. Most of the people coming from abroad were religious people.
Right. Yeah.
There is a Sephardic.
Sephardic.
And there is Ashkenaz,
the European Jews.
And my father pray with Ashkenaz.
Wow.
Because there is no rabbi over there.
He knew how to read the Torah.
Wow. Let me ask you, so what was it like for you? Because obviously you started going to school with people from other countries, Jews that had made Aliyah, that had come home after the Shoah. What was that like? Do you remember your feelings as a little girl when you look around and say, wow, look at all these little Jewish children from other countries?
I look at the sky and I say, thank God that you saved these people who is coming to Israel and Jew, and thank God every day.
Every day, wow. Let me ask you something.
She, when she was in the school, and the new immigrants coming in, she was the model because she knew Hebrew.
Right.
She is born here.
Right.
And she teach all the other children.
No.
Beside the teacher, you know.
Right. After the school,
she teach all the children and
Hebrew.
Yes. Hebrew to speak.
Wow, mitzvah.
Because I remember the first day I went to school.
Yeah. Okay. Because you came from Romania.
From Romania.
How old were you?
I was 12.
You were 12? That's a big change for a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Because you've made all your friends in the United States. In Romania. Did you suffer any persecution in Romania because you were Jewish? Your family, did they see persecution because you were Jewish?
As a child, I don't feel it, except during the war time, the Second World War.
Exactly.
So I didn't see it because we learn in different schools,
in Jewish schools.
My grandfather, you know, he was a rabbi.
In the synagogue there.
We went to Jewish school there. I didn't, like a child, I couldn't distinguish if there is anti-Semitism or I heard about, you know, all kind of expressions and so on. But children, they get involved with other children, Jewish and non-Jewish. They play together, so
right.
I didn't feel it.
What was it like for you when you first came here to Israel? I mean, did you ask why? Why are we going to Israel?
First time, you know, I remember we came in. There is a place which is called in Hebrew Shar Aliyah, which is a port of immigration. All the Jewish coming with ships and so on, they are brought there for the first week, and all the registration are made in that place. And this is in Haifa.
Ah, the Haifa is beautiful.
We arrive by boat, you know, with a ship, and they take it to Haifa to a special thing which is called Shar Aliyah, the gate of the immigration, and all the formulas
arrangements were made.
And after that, everyone or every family was sent to another place.
Another part of the country.
Which is called Beit Olim. We were sent to Netanya, which is a town in mid-country.
And south of Haifa.
South of Haifa.
On the coast.
We lived there on the shore, seashore.
Wow.
In tents.
In a tent?
Yeah. We arrived here in Israel
on the
14th of May.
What year?
1950.
Ah, 2 years after you became
after
a state.
After the declaration of the state.
So you were 14 at the time?
Yeah. So we came to Netanya. And I remember my first day when I went to school. Because as a child, 12 years old, you have to go to school.
Right.
I didn't understand a word, you know.
Wow.
And this was something. I ran away from the school and I said, I will never go back to school. I looked at the people, they speak, I hear it, I don't understand the word. It's a terrible feeling for a child to be surrounded by others who talk a different language and you don't understand.
Right.
But as a child, you know, you adjust very, very quickly. We were in Netanya for 3 months there, standing in a tent, start winter time. Then we were sent to a moshav. Moshav
is like a kibbutz, but it's nicer.
Like a kibbutz, but the kibbutz is all together.
Right.
Moshav, each
Everyone
one is...
takes care of himself.
Yeah. And the moshav was less than 1 mile from the border with Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Every night, Arabs coming, crossing the border.
Muslims would come to the border.
Still, all the ships.
Ah, they're doing that today.
Those times, they were killing.
From the windows, coming and killing
Jews. They come to Rehoboth, which is middle of the country.
Yeah.
They shoot there, and they kill families and so on.
Wow.
Before 56 war. One of the reasons of the 56 war was, you know, all the what they do to the Jewish people traveling or coming from Eilat or, you know, killing buses and people on the buses and so on.
Wow. So, you know, if you're a child...
Very tough time.
Right.
It wasn't safe, you know, to live in the moshav because every night. So after that, we.
Yeah, you came from Jordan and threw in the window a little.
After that, we moved from there to another place, which is called Ashkelon today, Migdal. This was an ancient Arab town.
Right.
They left during the war, independence war. They left the town. So the Jews came in, we were there. I was there for 3 years in school until 15. And then my grandfather, my whole childhood was together with my grandfather. We live in the same yard.
One house to the other.
One to the other. My grandfather who came from Romania, they were captured by the British Navy.
Wow.
Sent to Cyprus for 9 months.
Yeah, lot of people don't know that in Cyprus the British were keeping Jews there.
They didn't allow the Jews.
And he makes the wedding with the people, he makes Brit Milah.
in Tablis.
Wow.
And we moved there, and I went to Tel Aviv, and so I met Geula here in Tel Aviv.
Be'afo.
And after that...
The rest is history.
In 60, we married, we have three children, we are happy in that country. I think this is the most wonderful country for us.
For the Jewish people.
For the Jewish people, they feel like home here. We visit a lot of countries during, you know, staying. We visit a lot of countries and so on. But we are proud about our country and
absolutely
what we achieved to do in 67 years here in that country. It's wonderful and amazing, you know, with such a young generation who came to Israel, can create such a state, which is, you know, like a picture for all the world.
Right. You know, it's amazing because when I listen to you talk about your history, and I've read a lot about the history of Israel since 1948 and even before, it amazes me that, you know, the British saw how the Germans tried to massacre the Jews and get rid of them, exterminate them, and they occupy your country. They call it Palestine, which it's not Palestine. It's always been a Jewish state. Just we had to wait for the world to get smart enough to acknowledge it. And yet you come here to find freedom, and yet you don't find the freedom in the beginning that you should have found. You know, the British persecuting you, the Muslims persecuting you. And yet, still, there's two words I use to describe the Jews in Israel. Survive and thrive. Survive to get through every day, to enjoy life and fight for freedom. And thrive, which means you prosper.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, in those days, in those early days, could you have ever dreamed... You know, you guys met, you got married, did you date? You said you dated for a year?
Almost a year.
Almost a year, and then you got married.
Yeah.
God bless you. Married 56 years. Did you ever think that in your wildest dreams that this country would be... Like, we're looking at some very tall buildings here, with businesses from all over the world.
This is not dreaming, you know. This is a reality.
Right.
This is the reality. We are proud about this in such a short time to make this progress in all kinds of fields, you know, if it's medicine,
technology,
agriculture.
So agriculture.
Part of our agriculture is learned in all the other countries.
In all the world.
All the world. And, you know, we are proud of that.
You created the first, what they call, desalinization plant where you take seawater and turn it into fresh water.
Fresh water.
It's amazing.
Now, you know, we were trust the water coming from the Jordan River and so on. Now, from the sea, we take the water. We are not short on water anymore.
Right.
The beginning, it was a problem. Now, all the southern part, the Sheba to the south,
it's like a paradise.
They grew up, whatever it be, with water which is made. Now, something else, 3 months ago, we visit a place where they make they clear all the water.
The laundry, the Chodeshavda.
The all water which is used in the toilets and everything, they clear it, everything is...
They clean it.
They clean it, you know. You can feel nothing when you test the water against the water from the tap. There is no difference. You can drink the water after it's cleaned out.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and this is
very important to go there.
This is the biggest in all the world.
It's something unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This is the biggest in all the world. This is in Rishon LeZion. It's worth to visit that place. It's amazing.
I will go there definitely and visit.
Shakdan. It's named Shakdan.
Shakdan.
Okay.
They take over from Tel Aviv 36 authorities here, Ramat Gan and all the neighborhood, all the water which goes
into the toilet.
And then make it clear. They don't use it for drink. They send that water to the southern part to create now almost every
fruit and vegetable.
Fruit and vegetables are coming from the southern part, which is grow up and heated houses and so on. And it's very, you know, they also, we have a place in Nesiona, which near Nesiona, near Rishon, between Rishon, they have agricultural place, and they make all kinds of vegetables to be more
big,
more tasty,
nutritious,
and so on.
And special flowers.
Yeah.
And special things.
A lot of flowers.
Something.
Now, we export from here a lot of flowers. Holland was the biggest. Now we export to all the country's flowers also.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Let me ask you, you know, as much as I've traveled the country here, a lot of my Israeli friends say, Michael, you travel the country more than we do. You know, it's amazing how many people in Tel Aviv, the last time they were at the Kotel was when they were children. And now they're in their 30s.
Our young men, bar mitzvah, was in the Kotel.
And the military goes to the Kotel a lot, your army?
The Kotel.
Do you folks find yourself, because you're retired now, and you worked for
NCR,
which you, Steve, we're going to get you in here, Steve. We're actually going to do a video together. But you worked for NCR, NCI?
NCR.
Which is like IBM.
National.
Started. National Cash Register.
National Cash Register. Now, did you have to work, Gula?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Sometimes a man works hard enough.
No. I work, and I look after the children, and I look after my mother who was sick with the cancer.
The work of a woman's never done.
I worked 3 months, 4 months. He was moving for the...
He was traveling for work.
You know, for work.
So what? You took care of the kids when you were working a job. What did you do?
They went to the kindergarten at the beginning.
No, it
when they were small. After that, Yola's mother took care of the children when she worked because she was retired.
Right.
And
It's not like grandma. You got to love softer.
Softer. But when I stay with my daughter, I have a lot of problems. Because she born and have something here and she have to make a surgeon. Then I said I'm going to stay for a year
at home.
At home because.
But she always worked until she gets, you know.
Then, but at that time, our son, big son, Chaim, start first class in the school, and I go in there and I talk to the people and I talk, they know, not all of them know very good Hebrew.
Right.
And
she became a teacher in the school.
Teacher
there.
And let him read and
pronounce
every Aleph, Bet.
All the alphabet.
Gimel.
The alphabet.
Dalet.
But the correct pronouncement.
Right.
Hey, it's coming from me.
Ken.
Vav is coming from time.
Right.
Zain, Het, Tet, Yud, Chaf, Kaf, Lamed. All this, I know to tell it specially because my father let me read every Friday from the Torah.
Wow.
All day if you don't read right.
Right, exactly.
By the way, you know, going abroad so many times, I met people. Hebrew is, this is a language you pronounce from your throat, like Arabic. So
Moshani.
They cannot distinguish between Hebrew or Arabic.
Wow.
Sometimes.
Seems the same, you know, the people who doesn't know anything about Hebrew, it's like Arabic, they wonder.
But what Arabic? Palestinian?
No. Any Arabic, because
no,
Arabic,
Arabic
and Hebrew is pronounced from the throat,
right.
It's not the alphabet.
No, but it's not Iraqi, it's not Arabic, it's Israeli, it's not that.
Let me ask you this. Did your children, because your children were born here and now they're successful and have done, they have their own families. When your children were in the Army or in the Air Force and one in the Army, were they faced with any of the wars that took place?
Oh, I fight in all the wars.
You fought in all the wars?
Except the last war in Lebanon. Because
the first Lebanon War?
The second one.
You didn't fight in the second, but you fought in the first Lebanon War. You were Miloim,
Reserve. I was Miloim, Reserve. Because here you go until 40, it's mandatory. And then you can volunteer and follow up to 60. If you have a job there in the Army and you want to do it to help the Army, you go until 60.
Wow.
I was there all the wars here.
Wow.
Part of them in the Air Force, but after you finished in the Air Force, since the innovation is so fast in the Air Force, they cannot take you, but you are with...
Miloim.
Miloim in other
in another
part of the army, you know,
right.
Tanks or
Kol ha'gvul ha'yardeni.
Then to keep you know the border on the border.
The border guards.
So, yeah, border
guards. Let me ask you: in all the wars that you fought, was there ever a time that you said to yourself, "We may not win this time"?
It's called the Yom Kippur War. You know, when the Syrian came until almost over to Tiberia.
Yeah.
And
Tiberia, for the listeners, is on the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret.
Yeah, which is nothing just to go down.
Yeah, from the Golan hills, Heights.
From the Golan Heights. And this is one measure of 2 kilometers, and then you are in Israel with the tanks. We don't know till today what
Gam Mitzrayim,
what happened that they stopped 2 kilometers from the border and they didn't finish the work coming down to Tiberia and try to take the part of Galilee or over the north part of Israel.
Wow.
And then the situation...
That was a miracle.
Miracle, yes or no, it's hard to say because from... Tanks, it was a troop of tanks, of 5 tanks, and this is called Balsvika, one of the guys there. He fight against a whole army, Syrian army. He destroyed more than 60 tanks, Syrian tanks, with his tank. He was the only one who survived there.
Wow.
And he held all the border there. They didn't know how many people are there and how many tanks. He was the only one which was not hit by the Syrian and so on.
Wow.
And he kept the border there and saved, you know, the invasion of the Syrian tanks.
Wow.
Down to on the Golan Heights also, Hermon Mountain.
Now Hermon.
Was occupied. By the, they came with the
Syrians.
The Syrians came with the helicopters, took there, killed all the people who were there, soldiers. They were there keeping, and they part of them they took hostages to Syria, also, and also to take back. It was Golani, which is
yes,
Golani.
Like my shirt.
A guy from Tiberia, he was a fisherman, a young guy, a very tall one, and he says, we have to go back and to conquer this place and to take it back, because this is the eyes of the country, the Jewish country.
The eyes of Israel.
Wow.
The eyes of Israel looking around.
And
so
we
got there.
He claimed to the...
They climbed to the top of the mountain.
Wow. With the other soldiers, many wounded and killed there. But he's from Tiberia. And
amazing.
They took it back with many casualties there.
Folks, listen, I'll tell you, we're going to have Shlomo and Gaula on the show again. We're out of time. But, yeah, it goes by quick. We didn't even cover the surface of...
When you enjoy, timing goes quick.
It's been amazing. Folks, you need to look up the history of Israel and read about the Yom Kippur War. So many brave... Every war, there's always been that one soldier that has just taken the lead and stood up for his people and conquered. When one soldier takes the lead, the rest of them are encouraged in hard times. Yoni Netanyahu, who's my hero, did that. But, folks, we're going to go. Thank you for listening to Inside Israel. We're going to have Shlomo and Gaula on again. And this is Michael Gineau. And we're gonna get you on, brother. This is Michael Gineau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
Thank you for hearing our opinion too.
Hey, you guys did a great job. Thank you. We're going to have you on the show again.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Peter Wallace, inviting you to listen every Sunday morning to Day One with inspiring preachers from America's mainline churches on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Leading the Way features the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Michael Youssef, the founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. I hope that you'll make plans to join us each week when we're privileged to share two recent messages that I know will encourage you in your faith. You'll also learn more about the worldwide outreach of Leading the Way to more than 200 countries and in more than 20 different languages. So join us right here for Leading the Way.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.